Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4, and we'll just read the one verse, the verse that we'll be looking at today. It's the verse 3 of Mark chapter 4. Verse 3, the Savior's words. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow.
On Tuesday,
we took note of that word hearken. I pointed out to you that the Savior began the parable with the word hearken and he ended it with the word hearken. Or the same word, although it's translated in the verse 9 by the word hear. They are the same Greek word. And so the Savior says at the beginning, listen to me. And he says at the end, I hope you listen to me. And that's the exhortation that I suppose we would start every assembly with. Oh, listen, listen. Because there'll be many interruptions. I've no doubt the devil tempts us, as well as our old hearts, to distract us. Turn us aside. Turn us aside. I love the story of Pilgrim's Progress, you know. I hope that you have a copy at home and maybe you'd have a look at it. And throughout that story you find many trying to turn Pilgrim aside. People shouting at him from the side of the road, oh, come over here and talk to me. Listen to what I have to say. Anything to stop him progressing. And it's just the same, boys and girls. And the Lord Jesus knew that. That's why he said, hearken, hear. Hearken and hear. Now, we're going to consider the fact that the Savior begins the parable by saying, behold. And again, that word behold is a call for your attention. I want you to look at. I want you to consider what I'm about to tell you. There went out a sower to sow. And that immediately would have brought before the minds of the people listening a very clear picture. Something they had seen, well, depending on the age of the listener, hundreds of times. Men walking a field with a sack of seed hanging by their side and dipping into it and spreading the seed as they walk, sowing the seed. It's a very common sight for those who were listening to the Lord. And the Lord uses what was a common sight, an everyday event. Well, every day in the sense of whenever the period, the time for sowing came. There were two harvests in Israel, not like us. But they could sow twice a year. So it was more common to see a sower in the field in Israel than it would be here. But it is of note that the Lord Jesus uses an event that takes place, a common event that takes place, to illustrate the gospel, the sowing of seed. We sang Psalm 19 at the beginning of our assembly, and the reason I chose that psalm, very simply, is because there the psalmist tells us that the heavens declare, the heavens teach, the heavens reveal. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament creation showeth his handiwork. So that there is a testimony to God's work, to what God has done in the heavens and in the earth round about us. And as the psalmist here says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. It's a ceaseless testimony. You can look out today, and you can see evidence of God's creation. You can see God's handiwork there. And you can go out at night, and there again, shining in the darkness, there is evidence of God's handiwork. A ceaseless testimony written for us all. And no matter whether you live in Africa, or in England, or in France, or out in New Zealand. It doesn't matter where you are, or what language you normally speak. The testimony of the heavens and of the earth will speak in your language and declare the handiwork of God. And what the heavens teach us is but an echo of the gospel. It's an echo of the gospel. I told you the last time I was here that God has written for us the Bible. This is God's Word, boys and girls. That's why you must ever treat with respect the Bible. You don't throw it about as you might another book. But you don't do that with the Bible. You treat it with respect. It's God's precious Word. And God's reverence, if I might put it like that, God's reverence for His Word is seen in the fact that you have a copy of it. This was written thousands of years ago. But God has seen to it that it has been preserved. It hasn't disappeared. The enemies haven't been allowed to destroy it. That shows the care. That shows the value that God places upon His Word. You today have a copy of His Word because God values it and wanted you to have it. And you must not treat the Bible as you would perhaps treat any other book. Well, God has written to us His words in the Bible. And then out there, He has written another book. And it's a book of wonderful illustrations. Wonderful illustrations. All of which illustrate the gospel truth. We love looking at pictures. We love looking at pictures. I don't care what age you are. When you lift a book, if there are pictures in it, the chances are you'll look at them first. We like pictures. We like that which illustrates. And God has written how many pictures? I just can't say. If we were all now to move outside and all begin to look around us, every one of us would have a different picture to look at. Every one of us. Our eyes would focus on some object, while the person next to us might be looking at another object. It'd be as an animal in the field, a bird in the air, the tree and its changing colour, or the last of the flowers in the garden. All of us would have a different object to look at, a different illustration. We wouldn't be shouldering each other, as sometimes I've seen wee boys when they're at a book. And there's some pictures, and one wants to look at this picture, and another wants to look at that picture, and a bit of shoving and pushing, and maybe even the page gets the works. But we can go out there, and each one of us has a picture to look at, and we can change the picture just by a slight movement of our eyes. Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." The truth I'm about to tell you, there's the illustration for it, he says. The sower going forth to sow. Men, of course, want to remove God's name as author of creation. Men don't realize it, but when they advance the notion, the theory of evolution, the mind, the evil heart behind that notion is the devil. Men mightn't realize how the devil is using them. In fact, I'm sure they don't. They don't realize they're being manipulated, but it's the devil. And the devil wants to remove God's name from creation. And so he is promoted amongst the minds of men. And let me tell you, the notion of evolution didn't begin in the 1800s. There were books published at that time. And there were men whose names were ever linked with the notion of evolution at that time. And they still talk about those names. And there are foolish people who would reverence it. But listen, evolution was talked about centuries before. And if you want to do some research, you can go back to ancient manuscripts and you will find amongst the heathen nations men saying that we are but descendants of animals. Not a new thing. And it's not a scientific thing. It's not something that scientific inquiry has produced. That's a load of nonsense. It's a perversion that has its origins in the black heart of the devil. And it's all part of the scheme to deny God and to deny His authorship of creation. It's as if, as an attack on the Bible, there's an attack on the book that illustrates the Bible. You tear out all the pictures that are in that book, and that weakens the testimony of the Bible. And of course you launch an attack on the Bible as well, and men do. You know that there are many in the pulpits of the land who say that, well, God never wrote the Bible. Really, the Bible is just what men in their superstition thought was truth. That's what the devil has prompted men to believe. And it's all an attempt to destroy the witness of God's holy truth, to stifle the message of the gospel, to undermine anyone who would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. There's a tampering. Evolutionist, he wants to tamper with the book that God has provided, full of illustrations. And the apostate theologian, the modernist, he comes along and he says, oh, the Bible's not the inspired word of God. God never wrote the Bible. Well, I'll tell you this. If God never wrote the Bible, it's most marvelous that the Bible still exists. It's most marvelous that there are millions of people in the world who revere the Bible, love the Bible, and bless God for the Bible because it has changed their lives. In that Psalm 19, we took note and it was emphasized by Mr. Dane that the last verse but one that we sung says the law of the Lord converts the soul. There's converting power in the Word of God. Converting power. Power to change you. Power to alter your life. More than that, alter the direction of your life. Alter the destination to which you're going. For 20 years, I traveled the road to hell. I was lost. I was disobedient. I wouldn't listen to the gospel. Laughed at it, sneered at it. But then, the power of God's Word, the power of God's Word changed me. And listen, how that change came about illustrates the power of the Word, because it was a verse from the book of Genesis. I have never seen it. I didn't know where it was. I didn't know it was in the book of Genesis then. But a girl said to me, God's Word says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That was a tiny seed. A tiny seed. And by God's grace, you just dropped it into my heart. And it sat there for a while. And then about a week later, God spoke to me through that verse, which I didn't know where it was in the Bible. I couldn't have turned it up in the Bible. I just had that girl's quotation. And it changed me. It converted me. Made me a new person. Made me a new person. That's why men want to destroy the Bible. That's why the devil hates the Bible. That's why the devil hates the Bible. The Lord Jesus is the main character in the Bible story, just as he's the main character in this parable. Behold, there went out a sower. The Lord Jesus is the sower. Yes, here today I'm endeavouring to scatter the seed, but I'm doing it at his command. And it's the seed he gave me. It's the seed he gave me. It's not seed that I found myself. Produced myself, prepared myself. No, I'm trying to sow the seed that he gave me. It's his seed. He's the sower. I'm only a lowly servant, a laborer, that's doing the master's bidding. And I'm sowing his seed. I hope that you receive the words that I am speaking, not because I'm speaking them, but because they are his words. His words. Oh, how good it is, boys and girls, to have an opportunity to hear the Master's Word. Do you know what that means? It means he's passing amongst us today. Just as a man out sowing seed in the field, when the seed falls on the ground, it means the sower is passing that part of the ground. And as the seed is falling on your heart today, it means the Lord Jesus is passing. He's the sower. He's the sower. His work is being done amongst you today as you listen to his word. Do you realize how precious it is to receive that which has come from the hand of God? This book, the words of this book, come from God. They're God's word. In fact, when we talk about the Bible being inspired, the word carries the meaning God breathed. Every time I speak to you, what you're hearing is a noise made by my breath over my voice box. Don't ask me how it works, but that's what you're hearing. I'm breathing out these words. And the Bible is God's breathed out words. God's words. God's words. Isn't it marvelous that we have such a treasure amongst us today? Isn't it most marvelous indeed? We leave it there. Although there's more for us to look at, I'm going to think about, well, this is Thursday, so it'll be next Tuesday, in the will of the Lord. I'm going to think about the fact that God's word is called a seed. Will you think about it too? Think about what that suggests. We'll examine that in the will of the Lord next week. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. O God, our Father, help us to fully understand, or at least to a far greater degree than we do at present, privileges that are ours, to have the sower pass us by and cast seed into our hearts and minds, the seed of God's word. Lord, may we praise thee for this. For, O God, there are hundreds and hundreds of schools in this little land. Never mind, Lord, the almost innumerable number of schools throughout the world where boys and girls never, never, never hear the word of God. May we humbly reflect on this and praise thee today for thy kindness to us. Bless the school. I pray you'll keep it safe, that all that is undertaken here in the classrooms will be owned and blessed of thee. Bless the children. Cause their minds to reflect upon thy kindness to them, especially in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Answer prayer, we ask of thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.